What a wonderful day we've had together today. What a great time we've been together, and it's so good to see there's so much talent and so much cooperation here in the congregation. I couldn't help but think when we were playing Pony Express Song Leader there, at one time we were in a similar situation, and Don and I were sitting there on the front row, and he had been, Don McKee, and he had been got drafted last minute to do some song leading, and he was looking for some songs, and he said, "Do you want to trade jobs?" I said, "No, I know what you're up to. You know, when I lead singing, there's no closing prayer. You know everybody will be gone, and you won't have to give the sermon, right?" It's why I'm just standing in amazement that so many people in this congregation can sing. Milt says about me, he said, "Paul can carry a tune, he just doesn't know how to unload it." And the good news about our children, we knew they were going to represent us well because they're our children. We knew how much they love this church and how much they love Jesus. We knew that already. Last Sunday night we saw how much talent was there, how amazing, how much work they must have put into the work that they did. And some of the things that just stood out to you. You could see those children opening their hearts as they not only performed the skits and did the other things, but everything they would go to do, the sign language interpretation, the singing, the speeches, they just opened their hearts up to us. And what a beautiful thing. And it just shows how wise those judges were to notice that. And I'm still trying to figure out a time where more than once a year we can hear our children sing to us. Because that was an amazing thing. Those of you that have been at LTC, I know you're tired. You're getting a special preacher pass right now. If you doze off, no one's going to bother you unless you start making noise, okay? Unless you start snoring, they will let you because we know how tired you are. Thank you for what you've done. Those of you that were parents and sponsors and others, and some are, I'm sure, still on the road. They're still getting home. So let's remember them as we do. What a great day we have. And how we really abuse the people that say yes. You'd think being the song leader would get you off the hook for other jobs. But thank you, Jeff. Thank you for always saying yes. And what a wonderful church that we have together. Open your Bibles, please. The book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. This is exciting chapter where some of us have been studying it. Some of us were involved with it even today in Bible class. But this chapter, one of the things I want us to notice is that in this chapter, he tells us the reason that some people, you know, it's hard to believe that some people wouldn't hang on every word that Jesus said. It's hard to believe that they wouldn't do what he commanded them to do. It's hard to believe that the Son of God could appear in their presence and they wouldn't receive him. The first chapter tells us that he was the light and he was the life of the world and that he came into his own people and his own people received him not. How can that be? It is inconceivable. Now, nobody just said, okay, no matter what he does or what he says, we're not going to receive him. We're going to say no to God, and we're not going to have anything to do with him. Most people don't do that. But they make a series of decisions. They decide to embrace a series of ideas. They put themselves in a position where receiving Christ is either difficult or just flat out impossible. And that's what the people here in chapter 8 do. We know because John tells us the reasons why they didn't receive Jesus. Now, when you think of the reward for receiving Jesus, John chapter 1 says those who received him He gave the power to become the children of God. You'd think everybody would receive him, but not everybody has, not everybody did, not everybody will. What we want to make sure is that we are those who receive him, because to be the children of God, that's what we want, isn't it? That's what we need, isn't it? I mean, that's where life is. That's where hope is. That's where forgiveness is. That's where peace that passes understanding. That's where all of the manifold blessings of God, all of those blessings come to his children. And we want to be that. So we need to make sure we don't make these four mistakes, that we don't embrace these four lifestyles, that we don't have these four really bad ideas, because this is what they did. And they end up being the people that Jesus would say about them, "I would have called you to me, but you wouldn't come." They'd be the kind of people that Jesus says in this very chapter, "You are really following your father, the devil. I want to be part of the children of God, don't you? Not the children of the devil." Well, here's what he says. Let's go to chapter 8, and we'll start with verse 34, when he is explaining this thing that he does. As a matter of fact, let's start with verse 31. Jesus then said to them, to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been in bondage to anyone. How is it that you say you will make us free?" You see this conflict already starting. Jesus is offering an opportunity to be the children of God, offering the opportunity to be the disciples of Christ, and offering the opportunity of being free. And you know about this thing, this word free doesn't only mean that you're a slave to some foreign entity. You know, how long has it been since you felt free? You know about it. And so he says to them, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not continue in the house forever. The Son continues forever. So if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed." He said, you know what I'm talking about. Anybody got a sin problem? Anybody got a sin that you just can't get rid of? Anybody been addicted to some behavior that might be killing you? Anybody ever felt those hot chains of the devil yank on your heart and you do things that even while you're doing them, you think, "Why am I doing this?" You know what I'm talking about. Jesus knew exactly what was going on. Are you going to say that you're free? These very people who are claiming not to be free, they weren't even politically free. The Romans ran everything. The high priest could not put on his high priest robe, that uniform that he wore when he did those things at the festivals and at the holy days. When he would go into the high priest, would go into the holy place to make intercession for the people, the clothes that he wore, the apron that he wore, the hat that he wore, was locked up over at the Roman governor's palace. And he would have to go or send somebody over and say, "You know, we're having Passover this week. I'm going to need my robe." He couldn't even keep it at his house because it was a symbol of authority, and the Romans had all authority in that city. And that meant that he would get it on loan. And probably, I never listened in on the conversations, but you know the bitterness that the Jew felt in his mouth when he had to ask for his own robe. And you know the arrogance that must have been on the lips of the Roman when he would say, "Have this back by Tuesday. Don't make me come get it," you know? And these are the people who say, "We've never been slaves to anybody. What about down there in Egypt? What about that time in Babylon? What about now?" But Jesus doesn't go for that. there's a much worse slavery that was going on, because not everybody in Babylon was a slave. Daniel wasn't a slave. Oh, he had people saying, you live here, but he belonged to God. Throw him in a lion's den, doesn't matter. He was a free man in a slave city. But these people, they say we're not slaves. So Jesus goes to the heart of it and says, actually, if you sin, you are a slave. You know what I'm talking about. You have a hot temper? And how many times have you been ashamed of yourself because of your temper? Do you have a lust problem? Are you sin? Are you your appetites for immorality so big that you just think, maybe today I will get through this? You know about slavery. You have some other kind of habit. We like to pick on people that drink, but they're not the only people. It's a problem that people have. It's a problem because sin is so pervasive. So he says, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. But I'm offering you freedom. Now, why wouldn't they say, now you're talking? This is what I've been looking for all my life, to be free. To be free indeed. To be free in the sons of God. How could we beat it? And yet they said no. Maybe not out loud. Maybe not by sending back the opportunity in a written form, but they said no. And here he's going to tell us why. The first reason he tells us is in verse 37. Look at that reason. He said, I know you are descendants of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. These descendants of Abraham who prayed every day that the Messiah would come, and now he's there and they want him dead. Why do they want him dead? Because his word finds no place with them. To say it another way, they did not believe the word of God. They did not receive the word of God. And if they're not going to receive the spoken word of God and the written word of God, why would we think for a minute that they would receive the incarnate word of God, Jesus? He said, you don't receive me because you don't receive my words. You don't really believe the Bible. You don't really obey the Bible. There are people who preach every week. There are people who write books. There are people who can tell you what every chapter and verse in the Bible is all about. They know more about it than any of us will ever know about it. And yet they're very careful about the passages that they skip. They're not going to talk about some things. Why not? The Word of God has no place in them. I've had a little hobby the last few years of searching through my old Bible and looking for pages that have no marks on them. I call them the white pages. And I ask myself when I'm looking at them, why am I not preaching about this page? Sometimes it's one of those lists of so-and-so begets so-and-so and all of that. Sometimes that's it. Sometimes it's so difficult to understand. It's something from Leviticus or something like that that I just think I'll pass on that one and look for something else. But I found that every now and then it's something I don't like to think about. Every now and then it's something that kind of hits me between the eyes. He said, the reason they rejected God, the reason they rejected God's Son, the Savior of the world standing right there in front of me, even though they prayed for him every day, the reason they rejected him is they did not believe the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God and believing it are not the same thing. Knowing the Word of God and obeying it are not the same thing. And they didn't receive Jesus because they didn't receive the Word of God. The second thing he tells them, look at their answer. They say, Abraham is our father. This is in verse 39. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me. The reason they didn't receive Jesus is they did not do the works of God. What did Abraham do? Name everything he did in his life, and you're going to notice a certain trend about this guy. If God said do it, he did it. If God said go, he went. If God called on him to do something that was really difficult, he did the best he could to obey it. Abraham is on the top of every list, not just because his name starts with an A, but he's the top of every list of the faithful people. If you made another list of the obedient people, what would you find? Abraham would be at the top of the list. It's the same characteristic. These people did not receive Jesus because they did not obey God. They should have listened to the words of Moses that they revered and talked about all the time when he said, after me, there's coming one. When he gets here, you follow him. You listen to him. They should have listened to the prophet John who said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. They should have, but they didn't. They didn't receive Jesus because they did not believe the word of God and they did not obey the commandments of God. But that's not all. Well, actually, we ought to think about it for a second. Would you like to take a few seconds and run through the list of commandments that God has given to us that you haven't done? Do you forgive people when they ask? Do you turn it over to God when they don't? If you have something against somebody, do you go to them? God said to do that and to confront them with this, let's make this right. Before we worship him, do we make sure that if someone has something against us, we've made it as right as we can? Do you really do that? Do you really trust him? Do you give generously and cheerfully? Do we really do that? He said the reason these people did not receive Jesus is they didn't obey God. I don't want to get too hard on them because the very shoes I want to kick them with are pinching my toes. We need to be so careful to pay attention to this failure on the part of people that shouldn't have failed because they didn't believe the word of God and they didn't obey the commandments of God. Look at the third thing he said in verse 42. Here they make a little terrible statement here. They said, we know, and they said, let me see if I get it right. Verse 41, you do what your father did, he said. But they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Now, they could have been talking about the fact he's not a Samaritan. I think they were talking about that old scandal back there back in their hometown, when Mary turned up with child and she wasn't married yet. That old scandal that somebody else must be her father. They talk about his brothers and his sisters. They even make insinuation that Jesus is the son of the carpenter, but here they make this statement pretty plain. They say, we weren't born in fornication. This didn't happen to us. Jesus said to them, verse 42, listen to his answer. If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded and came forth from God. They didn't love God. If God was your father, you would love me. Why? Well, if he's your father and he's my father, we would have something in common. One reason that I didn't kill my brothers when they were boys is that I loved my father and my mother, and I knew it would upset them. I think the reasons my brothers didn't kill me is the same reason. If you love your father, you're going to receive his children. You know that. And what these people did is they not only didn't receive the word of God or believe the word of God or obey the commandments of God, they really didn't see God as their father. They talked about it all the time, but they didn't act like it. Now, if Abraham was the child of God, you have to know something about Abraham. Abraham treated God, well, what did even strangers say about him? They called him the friend of God. They called God his friend. They knew that. What did they say about Moses? Same thing. What did God say about Moses? Now, Moses and me, he said, we're like friends. We talk face to face. Moses really likes me. Moses is going to be in my presence all that he can because he loves me. What do we know about these guys? They loved the temple. They loved, what did Jesus say about them? They loved the praises they received. They loved the power they got from it. They loved the money they made off of the church, off of the temple. But they didn't love God. And it was obvious when you see how they treated his son. Now, everybody knew where Jesus came from, no matter what they said, no matter what stories they started, everybody knew. They said things like, if he's not the Christ, what could the Christ do that he doesn't do? They said things like, no one speaks like this. When he performed some miracles, like the raising of the dead boy in Nain, they said, God has visited this place. They knew who he was. Now, sometimes when we're cruel to a child, it's their father we don't like. And when they refuse to accept Jesus or receive Jesus or give him the due that should be his, to see him as a competitor or see him as an imposter or see him as one who they would even say later, if this continues, we'll lose our place. It's because they didn't believe the word of God, they didn't obey the commandments of God, and they didn't love God. He said, Abraham loved me, you know what he did. Abraham loved the Father, you know what he did. If you were truly the children of Abraham, you would be welcoming me. You would love me, but you don't. What he then says, look what he says next. He said, I came not, I proceeded and came forth from God. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? Because you cannot bear to hear my word. If you were of my father, if you loved my father, you would want to hear about me. You'd want to know about me. You'd want to receive me. Because David loved Jonathan, he made sure that Jonathan's grandchildren were taken care of. He looked out for them. He made intercession for them. They always had a place at his table because he loved them. Because God loved David, he put up with a lot from Israel. And he would even tell them, for the sake of David, if we love God, of course, we would accept his son. The trouble was that they were not really from God. Look what he tells us down here in verse 47. He who is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you're not of God. They didn't believe the word of God. They didn't obey the commandments of God. They didn't really love God. And that's because they weren't really from God. They were from another tribe. They weren't Hatfields. They were McCoys. And they were not going to be friends with anybody that belonged to God. We know he said that. That's what he says about them. They were not of God. But if you back up to verse 44, it's easy to decide who they are from. Who they have descended from. He says in verse 44, look what he said, you are of your father, the devil. And you will do, your will is to do what your father desires. There's something about being a descendant. It doesn't have to be all biological. There's something about being a part of a clan or being a part of a family. You probably could pick at least one of my grandchildren out. Having not known any of us, you could look over the crowd and you might could pick out a handsome young man and say, you must be his. One time I was preaching in Temple, Texas, and I hadn't been there before, but I heard that an old childhood friend of mine went to church there. And so I'm looking for him. When I knew him, his name was Jamie. We were just boys. And I don't know, I'm looking the group over as we got to church and people are coming in, and I'm looking for Jamie and I'm trying to figure out what he looks like now. It's been all these years. And around through the crowd came a little boy. And he looked just like Jamie did when I was a kid. I grabbed hold of him and I said, is your name Jamie? I knew better. And he said, no. I said, is your last name Jennings? He said, yes, sir. I said, is your daddy's name Jamie? He said, my daddy's name James. I said, take me to him. I want to see him. I knew him because I knew his father. I recognized him. Why? Because he looked like him. He acted like him. It was in him. Some of you, when I first met you, you didn't look like Jesus. Some of you looked like your father, the devil, but you received him and you obeyed him and you believed his word and you loved God. And now you look like your father. You look like somebody else. Several years ago, I read about a fella. He was the governor, I think, of Tennessee. Might have been Alabama. I can't remember that part. And he's telling his story. And he said when he was a little boy, well, in those days, this is nearly 100 years ago now, but in those days, to be the son of a single mother was a terrible shame. And he said people didn't like me, and they would speculate on who my father was. And there were several candidates in town that they thought might be. And he said, one day I found out about the church. He said, the thing that I liked the best about the church is they had food there. And he says they had cookies in Bible class, and sometimes they had dinners at the church. And he said, so I started hanging around like a little half-orphan boy would. He said, one day I'm running through the crowd, and a big hand grabbed me, and it was the preacher. He said he looked like Moses. He was just a big old gray guy, you know. And he said, hold it, hold it, hold it. And he turned and looked at me in the eye, and he said, whose boy are you? And my heart sunk, he said. And he looked at me, and he said, oh, I see. I'd never miss it. You're God's boy, aren't you? He said, I never missed church from then on because I found who I belonged to. Jesus said, you guys are not receiving me because you don't believe the word of God. You guys are not receiving me because you don't love God. You're not receiving me because you don't do the works of God. You're not obeying God. And you're not receiving me because you're not even in the same family. You're children of the devil. If the children of God do certain things, what do the children of the devil do? Look what he says when he's explaining that. He says, you do what your father desires. What does Satan desire of us? He was a murderer from the beginning. Now, killing starts a long time before you pick the club up. And he said, you know what he's doing in your heart. You know what's in his heart. And he says, and also he says, and he has nothing to do with truth. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe in me? Why is that? Because they don't believe the word of God. They don't obey the word of God. They don't love God. And they actually love the devil. Now, this is the crowd to talk to that I'm sure you loved God. But how do we stay in this family? How do we stay where we belong? How do we make sure that God will say of us, well done, and welcome us? How do we know that we are the children? That's what John tells us later in 1 John. How can you know that you have eternal life? How can you know that you're the children of God? Well, let's turn the list over. We believe the word of God. We receive it. Even those verses we don't particularly like, those verses that seem like they go against our best interest. But because our Father wrote them and because he gave them to us, we receive it. We acknowledge it's the word of God and we follow it. What else would we do? Well, we obey the word of God. Sometimes that's easy. Some things that God calls on us to do, we'd do if we didn't even know there was a God. But some things that he calls on us to do are kind of hard to do. When my mother would say, kiss your brother, that was kind of hard to do. And I'm ashamed to tell you, it was always with lips sucked in. If we are going to be maintained the fact that we are the children of God, we believe his word and we obey his word. That gives all of us something to do. We always have work to do. If we are the children of God, what would we do? We would love God. We would make it our top priority to give him the best that we have. We would love him. So we willingly, maybe even when we get to where we love him more eagerly, obey his commandments. Paul would even say that the suffering that he was going through was a good thing. Now, Paul was really suffering. I mean, they beat him up. They threw him in jail. They stoned him and left him for dead. And he would say that I can share in his suffering. Isn't that something? Paul would say that I might know him. It's worth it. We would eagerly, because we love him, receive him. And we would cling as close to our Father in heaven, as sinners do to their father, the devil. When there's trouble, where do we go when we're children? We want the big guy in between us and whatever the danger is. So the middle of the bed is a good place to be. When we're in trouble, where do we want to go? If my father forgives me, I'm fine with what's going on at school. If we're in trouble, we go there. If we are on the battlefield or if we're in the arena, what do we do if we're children and we love our parents? We look for them, don't we? We look the crowd over looking for that face because we never want to be very far from them. If God is our Father, we make sure that we're in eyesight, that we're as close to him as we can get. Because what we want, what we have to have, is not only his approval, but we want his protection. We want him to guide, guard, and direct us. We want his word to light our feet and guide our path. We want his relationship. We want him to be close so that we can call out to him. He's never very far away, he says, if we'll look for him. When we do that, we will never have to hear a statement like what Jesus made to these people that are listening to God's Son on this earth. Jesus Christ, the greatest man and the greatest that loves you the most, who's offering eternal life to you. And they're listening like this. We're never going to be that, are we? Well, some of us have got some stuff to do. All of us have some things to do, but some of us are aware of it. We have commandments we need to obey. We have the Word of God we need to believe. And we need to love Him. We need to stop arguing with Him and love Him. If I could live my life over again, there's a few days that I would change the conversation with my parents. I would say, yes, of course. I love you. We wouldn't have got loud. I would have been submissive. If I could live my life over again, there's things I wouldn't hide from God or try to hide. There'd be nothing buried in the floor of my tent. I'd say, check me out, God. I love you and I trust you and I want to obey you. If I could live my life again, I would obey him. Fortunately for us, our loving Father, because of his loving Son, makes it possible for us to start over right now. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? And we can, if we repent and come back to him, he will not only forgive us, but he'll never bring it up again. A matter of fact, because he's God, he can do this. He will forget it. And it never happened. So that means I could live my life over again, couldn't I? All of those sins would be gone. And I could be fresh and whole and right. Wouldn't that be something? So why don't we do it? Refer to the first list. Pick out the reason and stop it. We're going to take time to sing a song. If you'd like to start over, this is the time. Won't you do it while we stand and sing?